Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio Live. This is your host, Jim Masters. Always a pleasure to have you with us, listening from around the world on Close Up Radio Live. Very excited to welcome, for part one of our exclusive series with Dr. Gozde Yücel, helping biotech and technology industries succeed by teaching them about emotional literacy is the name of the game for Dr. Yücel. She loves doing what she does. An American scientist born in Turkey, she brings extensive academic experience, corporate biotech, and personal lessons to the table. In her previous life as a research scientist, Dr. Yücel of Cure AML, that is acute myeloid leukemia, which is amazing. Funding isn't the only challenge in biotech, she says. In scientific, every solution involves teamwork. But only one person is allowed to receive recognition or an author status. The system causes a great deal of conflict, hesitation, miscommunication. Dr. Yücel offers three basic services. We'll talk about that during the conversation. Conflict coaching, helping researchers and employees come up with successful communication tools, along with learning the importance of walking in the other person's shoes, as well as something else that's very important, helping two researchers in direct conflict, that's mediation. That capacity, Dr. Yücel acts as a neutral party. Team workshops are wonderful for when teams are struggling and don't want to call out one person. Games promoting trust and highlighting the importance of sharing emotions offer an avenue for team players to speak to the conflict. Together, the teams work to identify solutions. She is also the author of her upcoming memoir, Kismet, which shares Dr. Yücel's personal challenges growing up in Turkey, going through divorce, raising three biracial children, mental health challenges, and her career transition from scientist to conflict coaching. Kismet is being released actually right now, which is quite amazing, hot off the presses, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble as a hardcover, paperback, ebook, and audiobook. And we'll tell you how you'll be able to get that. Of course, going to Amazon and Barnes & Noble, places like that, you'll be able to pick it up. And that is exciting. She's a published author, and that is a feather in the cap for sure. Coming to us live and direct for part one of our series in Close Up Radio Live, we welcome Dr. Yücel coming to us from Fremont, California. Dr. Yücel, thank you very much for joining us on Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's so exciting to be here.
We're very excited as well to have you with us, and it's really, really a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to this in-depth conversation that we're going to have, as we call these conversations, because I think it's really important to celebrate, you know, the things that matter and the things that we're passionate about. You're obviously very, very passionate about the work that you do, and we're going to display that and share some of that as well. A little bit of the background, you're Turkish American, as I mentioned. Did you have an inspiration, an idea, a thought that growing up in Turkey, back in Turkey, that you wanted to work in science? Were there other science and scientist folks in your family that sort of propelled this for you? Or was this something that you discovered yourself about yourself, doctor?
Thank you for that question. Actually, yes, I come from a medical family. My dad is a doctor and my mom is a dentist. So as a kid, gravitated towards science. And there are some schools in Turkey. There's a special science high school that you could get into where I ended up going, and I loved it. So that's how my journey into science started.
That's fantastic. And then you pursued it. And what would you say is the biggest challenge to academic and biotech research today? And what is the source or cause for the challenge?
Well, I mean, obviously funding is an issue in every part of the biotech research in academia or, you know, industry. But other than funding, I feel like lack of collaboration and teamwork, is a big challenge. And in my opinion, science thrives from collaboration and teamwork. And part of the reason you already mentioned, the authorship recognition is given to the first author in general when you publish a paper. And because of that, people get competitive in academia. And when I first came from academia to industry, biotech industry, I expected less of that. But what happens is people come from academia, so they are pre-wired with it. So unfortunately, that I see as a big, big challenge.
Yeah, it sounds like it really is. But you're on the forefront of figuring these things out, which I think is beautiful. What do you see as the solution, and how can this solution impact not only the bottom line for biotech, but also at the same time, advanced scientific research?
So, I see the solution with intensive rewiring, I call it. A lot of reassurance and putting collaboration and teamwork above anything else. It's very important. Also, frank communication is important. Like my hero, Brené Brown, says, clear is kind, unclear is unkind.
I like that. That is so very, very true. It absolutely is. How difficult will it be to change behaviors with such a strong history, sort of built in?
Right. So I do have a kid with behavioral issues, and I can tell you that it is pretty hard to change behaviors. Sometimes it can take years. But it's not impossible if you're willing to change, meaning that if you're open to change and you're really working on it, and as a group, as a company, it will change eventually. And if you set up your culture in a company, they call it a culture, in a way that there is a positive reinforcement for collaboration and teamwork, then people will start changing behaviors in time. They will see that that's the way to go, then they will continue doing it. They see their managers doing it, their big leaders, C-suite is doing it, and then everybody around them is doing it, so then they will end up doing it as well.
Yeah, and sort of, right, it's an inspiration, and one sort of guides the other just by watching and observing. And very excited
right.
to share that you have a memoir, and it's a phenomenal name, Kismet, where you share your personal challenges, of course, growing up in Turkey, and you're very open and real about going through divorce and raising three biracial children, ages 7, 10, and 12 currently, mental health challenges, career transition from scientist to conflict coaching, and helping other scientists and researchers succeed. I know you're very proud to have left stresses and conflict of scientific authorship behind, really to be developed into the author of your own life. Congratulations on the book, which is hardcover, paperback, ebook, audiobook. You covered all bases, which is fantastic. Tell us about why you picked the name Kismet and a little bit more about the memoir. What was the writing process like and the inspiration for wanting to write and share your memoir with everybody?
Yes. So Kismet, it means fate or meant to happen. It's a very, it's a Turkish word, but I think it's used in another, in other languages, other Middle Eastern countries and Asian countries as well. So it was actually an idea that came from my longtime mentor, Dee Dragon. She's the head of people at the company that I used to work. And she actually helped me getting trainings in conflict resolution and mediation. She and I were talking, and she said, Gözde, you have to find something that's like, that's a word that's, you know, the same in Turkish and in English. Is there something like that? While we're talking on the phone, she's Googling, and she's like, Kismet. I'm like, wow, that's a great one. So that's how we came up with the name. And it actually, you know, it's very funny because the whole book is about kismet, like meant to happen. It was fate. I don't know if you're a believer of fate, but, you know, mm-hmm. I am kind of a believer in fate. And I think things happen to you for a reason. At least I choose to believe that. So, you know, it's a memoir, and it reflects all the hard times that I was going through with some personal trauma. And so this is this talks about partly about my divorce, partly about growing up in Turkey, coming here, and then partly about my job transition, career transition. And, yeah, so it's really about me, but it mostly talks about the last 4 years of my life. And it wasn't actually an idea. A friend of mine said, hey, you know, you're going through a lot. Why don't you write? Because writing helps a lot to process your feelings, emotions, whatever you're doing. And I didn't really used to write that much, at least journal that much. And I thought, okay, let me give it a try. So it started as journaling. Like I was just journaling what just happened that day and, you know, how I felt. And it's really helped me to process my emotions at the time. And then after a while, it seemed like I had a lot of stuff, at least back at that day. And I was like, maybe I could make this a book. So that's how the idea came about. So I found a book coach online who helped me shape the book. So he and I would work on it every 2 weeks a session. So he would read it over, and then he would tell me, add a paragraph here, you know, why don't you extend here? And that, so I actually want to thank him. I also thank him in the book, David O'Neill. He's my also editor. So he was actually, I have to say, pivotal in this publishing this book, because he actually made me believe in myself. He's like, wow, Gözde, you went through a lot, and I think we can make this a book. Really, he made me believe myself. So that was actually really important. And, the book talks about my journey through the hard times, navigating divorce and handling the, you know, custody of my kids. But it also touches upon important subjects like race, mental health, and self-love is the book's biggest takeaway.
Self-love, that's so important, isn't it, for all of us to practice self-love and to understand it and really make it a part of our lives, right? It's very, very important.
Very important. And I have to say that I discovered that after the age of 40, for sure. I'm 46 now, but, you know, it's very important. And I know there's a stigma attached to it. Like, a lot of people think maybe that's a little bit of being selfish, but self-love isn't about being selfish. It's actually respecting yourself, being kind to yourself, and acting, you know, towards yourself as if you're acting towards a very good friend. So I actually did this self-kindness workshop with Kristen Neff. She's the researcher about this, and I did meditations with her in the workshop. And it's really important to understand that you have to trust yourself and you have to love yourself first to be able to love everybody else. That's so important.
Yes, right. That is very, very important. And when did you learn that? When did that become something that you were aware of and incorporated it into your day-to-day living?
As I said, it definitely after 40. If I have to pinpoint a time, probably, you know, after my divorce journey started, and at some point I realized I was being too hard on myself, or I was trying to tell myself to toughen up or be strong. But, you know, that is one of the hardest times that you have to go through as a human. And so I needed that time to actually grieve. So with the help of friends, my therapist, and, you know, reading into a lot of different things, going to Kristen Neff's workshop, I realized that this is a very important step. And then slowly and slowly, I started putting myself first, you know. At least, you know, I have 3 kids, right? It's a very busy life. I had a full-time job then. I had divorce to go through. But it's okay to set aside 10 minutes a day for yourself. And just think about yourself, meditate, you know. It's so important, so important. So, you know, slowly that 10 minutes became more and more, of course. You know, 10 minutes is not enough. But, yeah, it was, I think, during my divorce, that's when I realized this is important and this is something that I have to accomplish. Yeah.
So it's a work in progress, right?
Oh, like it is. Every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
You can never say you achieved something or you've done. There's no way. It's everything is work in progress. But I think that's the beauty of it. That, you know, you're not trying to get to an end stage or finish something. The progress is the most important thing, you know?
Absolutely. I mentioned in the introduction that you grew up in Turkey,
mm-hmm.
and of course you're here in the United States. From your observations, Doctor, what are some of the cultural differences that you've seen between Turkey and the United States?
Good question. So when I was growing up, we called Turkey Little America. So it was like, you know, I thought we had very big similarities as well. It's very different now in Turkey, so I can't speak for Turkey now. But the
yeah.
biggest difference between America and Turkey, I think people in America live very individualistic lives. So they're very individual people. In Turkey, people are more into sense of community. Like, for example, neighbors are a big part of your life, right? They would just knock the door, come in, you know, be part of your life. Like, so right now I live on a street. I only know two of my neighbors, and there's like maybe 10 other people living in there. So, you know, it's more like everyone is kind of confined into their own space. But in Turkey, it's also, you know, more people like together. But that means that they are in your business as well. So that's also the,
right.
You know, they'll be like giving you opinions about your life and how you should do things and stuff like that. So, but that
right.
happens as well. Yes.
It does, doesn't it? It's, it's quite
mm-hmm.
amazing. You know, you also witnessed how competition in both academic and corporate sectors is holding scientific research back. And you first began recognizing solutions when you first transitioned from academic research to biotech, but it all really
right.
solidified for you through the personal life challenges during the last 4 years. Tell us about some of those observations about the competition, about your desire to create solutions, and how some of the things that you experienced also aided in that effort.
Yeah, so I did my PhD at NYU when I first came from Turkey. And I have to say my experience at NYU was really amazing. There was a lot of mentorship and collaboration and teamwork. And, you know, it really grew me up as a scientist. It was really great being there. And then I did my postdoctoral studies at Stanford when I moved to California. I had completely a different environment. What I realized was Stanford University, very good university, obviously, you know, but there were people weren't helping each other. They weren't, you know, there wasn't much of a mentorship, very sink or swim type of place, cutthroat. And I stayed there for 5.5 years, but it was like really hard at the beginning. And there was this big culture clash. Even, you know, within the United States, I had that cultural difference, you know, from one place to another, East Coast to West Coast, or from one university to another. I remember I was put on a project with this medical student. And then, so what I didn't realize, the professor wanted this medical student to work well, and kind of like putting me on the project, he was thinking that I could push this person or we could push each other. But this medical student became, you know, upset about it, as you would, because that was his project. And, you know, all of a sudden some postdoc was coming in and sharing with him. So he started doing experiments behind my back. But this is like my first month. I had no idea these things could be done. Once I figured it out, I was like, oh, my God, like, why is this happening? So I sat down with the student myself, and I explained to him, hey, I didn't know that this was the case. I'm not trying to take your project away. And if we end up having a publication from this work, why don't we be called first authors so we could both get the credit, you know? So once
yeah.
I said that and I had this communication, really frank communication with him, he relaxed and we had a really good relationship afterwards. But that kind of like made me understand how the wheels are turning in these kind of places. And that kind of like told me, even when I was at Stanford, that I was like, wow, these are happening and this is not the way to go. And then when I switched to industry, I realized that I was employee 27 at the company I was working. And then I realized even such amount of people were having communication issues, conflicts, and no one wanted to talk about it, right? Conflict is a big word. People are like, oh, conflict. When they when you say conflict, everybody's scared of it. Actually, it's a big part of life. So, and we have to deal with it. And the if the communication is good, we don't get to a big conflict. There are disagreements. You can talk about it and move on. And at the company, I realized we were losing a lot of talent because of this. So that was actually the starting point for me, because I was like, wow, this is something that maybe I can do. And then, as I mentioned, Dee Dragon, my longtime mentor, she was the one who suggested I started taking these certifications. And that's how my journey started.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That really is. It's very inspiring as well, and absolutely encouraging too. With Kismet Consulting, you're really hoping to guide biotech and tech companies by using empathy and understanding and dispelling conflict by sitting with and understanding emotions. Emotional literacy is so important in this equation. Required therapy to help both academic, scientific research, and biotech thrive, right? Tell us about
that's
that,
right.
The emotional literacy.
Yeah, emotional literacy is important, and I think it became more and more important as, you know, and we had to go through pandemic, right? So pandemic was a big thing where everybody was at home, you know, along with their emotions and feelings, and people didn't know what to do with it, right? So I think, to me, emotional literacy is about, you know, knowing your emotions, naming them. This is, my son does this a lot. Now he's in a behavioral school, and it's an amazing school for him. So, but what I realized within short year and a half, I'm saying, that's why I said it takes years to change behaviors. But right now, he could come to me and say, "Mom, I'm feeling frustrated," or "I'm feeling angry. And because of this and that, I'm feeling this way." And so once he names those emotions, you know, it's easier to deal with them. So I'm seeing that with my own son, who's 10 years old now. So it's possible. But as myself, I'm a scientist in training, all about being tough, you know, strong and stuff like that. I had to learn this after age of 40, what emotions are, what kind of emotions are important. I mean, obviously, I was emotional. I'm not saying I didn't have emotions. I just didn't know how to deal with them, or I didn't know how to name them. And it's important. And people say emotions don't belong in the workplace. I don't believe that, because if you don't, we are human beings with a lot of emotions, and we take them to work. And that's where we spend 80% of our time, right? So, yes, you have emotions at the workplace, but it's important to see how to deal with them and how to, you know, go through them.
That is so true. Absolutely. And then apply them to our everyday living and inspire others as you do so beautifully as well, Doctor. Congratulations again on the book. That's very, very exciting. And I want to let folks know that the book can be found on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble as well, hardcover, paperback, ebook, and audiobook, Kismet. And that's quite exciting. This was really a spectacular conversation, Doctor. I really appreciate your openness, your authenticity, your dedication to the task, and sharing your story, which is so inspiring, and your empathy. And I want to let the audience know that you'll be back on Wednesday, March 27th at noon Eastern, live as well for part two of the series. But this was a pleasure, Doctor, and I hope that you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you. And I encourage folks to go to the website kismetconsulting.us. That's Kismet, you spell it K-I-S-M-E-T, and then the word consulting.us. That is the website. A pleasure, Doctor. Thanks so much for joining us. And again, I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I absolutely have with you today.
I definitely did. Thank you so much, Jim, for really wonderful questions. This was a really good time for me as well. Thanks a lot.
The pleasure is all mine, and we look forward to part two coming up next week here on Close Up Radio Live. Doctor, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate Dr. Yussel joining us from Kismet Consulting. We appreciate you joining us all around the world. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time and next time, and also inviting you to stay right there. We'll be back in just a moment with another celebrated guest from around the world right here on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.